Lakuta Sichas, Volume 21, the Sicha for Purim. Title, Out of the Mouth of Babes, Hast Thou Ordained Strength. The sages teach upon the book of Esther, when those letters, meaning the decree to annihilate the Jewish people, God forbid, were sealed and given to Haman, he and all the members of his entourage proceeded joyfully. They met Mordechai, who was walking ahead of them. Mordechai saw three children who were coming from school, and Mordechai ran after them. When Haman and his entire entourage saw that Mordechai was running after the children, they followed Mordechai to ascertain what Mordechai would ask them. When Mordechai reached the children, he asked one of them, "Recite your verse to me." He said to him, a quote from the verse of Proverbs, "Fear not from sudden terror and from the catalysm of the wicked when it comes." The second began and said, "I read today, and with this verse I left school. Take counsel, and it will be negated. Speak something, and it will not stand, as God is with us." From Isaiah. The third began and said, also from Isaiah, "Until old age I am he, and until gray hairs I will bear you. I have done, and I will carry, I will bear, and I will rescue." When Mordechai heard this, he laughed and was overjoyed. Haman said to him, "What is this joy that you rejoiced when you're hearing the words of these children?" And he said, "It is over the good tidings of which they apprised me, that I need not fear the evil designs that you counseled against us." Immediately the wicked Haman became angry and said, "I will strike at none other than these children first." Okay, now, simply speaking, Mordechai's joy was due to his seeing within the children's answer prophecy telling him that he needn't worry over Haman's decree. As we find in the Talmud, that the concept of asking a child to, quote, "recite your verse for me," end quote, is that the verse the child recites is a kind of prophecy from above. However, in our case here with Mordechai, this explanation alone will not suffice. For if prophecy was the primary focus here, then why the details of the story of Mordechai saw three children who were coming home from school, and that there were three children which said the three verses? Now, the details that Mordechai happened upon them and that there was more than one child, that does lead to expressing even more that it's a prophetic message. However, that they were coming home from school and that it was specifically three seem to be superfluous details. So too, another five questions. The order of the three verses recited by the children were not in scriptural order. The second and third are in the book of Isaiah, which comes after Proverbs, which is where the first verse comes from. You can't even say that they're going in reverse order, for the second verse is later in Isaiah than the third verse is. Question number two. The first child goes straight to reciting the verse, while the second child, began and said, "I read today, and with this verse, I left school," before reciting the verse, meaning that the second child learned more than just this recited verse, only that this was the last verse that he had studied on that day. Did the first child learn the entire day only the one verse that he recited? Number three. If Mordechai is seeing that this as a prophecy of sorts, then why did he answer Haman, "It is over the good tidings of which they apprised me," and not by saying, "For they apprised me a good prophecy"? Question number four. Similarly, if immediately after Haman's decree is signed, Mordechai hears a prophecy from the children's verses, and he laughed and was overjoyed, then why right after that it says Mordechai rent his clothes and put on a sackcloth and ashes, and he went out into the midst of the city and cried a loud and bitter cry? And then besides that, he directs to show Esther this decree and to tell her and to order her to come before the king to beseech him and to beg him for her people. He was already laughing. He wasn't worried. So why suddenly this? The last question, number five. Thus, from all of the above, we must say that Mordechai did not view the "recite your verse for me" as actual prophecy. Hence the question why, when Mordechai heard this, he laughed and was overjoyed. Explanation. The decree of Haman was because, I quote to you from the book of Esther, "and all the king's servants would kneel and prostrate themselves before Haman, but Mordechai would neither kneel nor prostrate himself." And being that, the verse that goes on to say that they told Haman Mordechai's nationality, and therefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews, Mordechai's people. Meaning that once Haman understood that Mordechai's not buying was not because of Mordechai the individual being a leader or anything, but because of Mordechai's nationality, that Mordechai is a Jew, and Jews believe only in God and bow to none other. Thus, Haman was bent on killing all of Mordechai's people, with each and every Jew has within themselves the spark of God, and therefore will never acknowledge Haman as a deity nor bow to him. Now the question is, how was it that Haman was able to achieve such a decree of total annihilation, God forbid, of all Israel? The sages explain the spiritual reason for Haman's decree was, and I quote, because they prostrated before the idol, talking about the idol of King Ahasuerus' wife, Queen Vashti's grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, others say that it wasn't actually the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, but they bowed to Haman. Now, being that Israel had done an act contrary to their spark of God, even though they did it for appearance, with no intention of heart at all. Rashi said they did it from fear, but nevertheless, and hence affected this essence connection with God, upon which Israel's entire existence is established. Thus, annihilation, God forbid, was decreed upon Israel because they detached themselves from their entire existence being established only through relationship with God. And being that, I quote, and Mordechai knew all that had transpired. And the mystically, this means not just he knew what happened with the meeting between Ahasuerus and Haman, but also the spiritual heavenly court that took place above. Therefore, it was only upon the spiritual reason for the decree that Mordechai was worried to the point of rent his clothes and put on sacks and ashes and cried a loud and bitter cry. Why? Being that the natural state of Israel is, I quote to you, to withstand a test of self-sacrifice to the extent of even refusing to do a mere empty act that is contrary to his belief in the one God, to bow down before an idol even without acknowledging it in his heart at all. Therefore, Mordechai knew that in order to nullify Haman's decree, he would have to arouse and bring forth the open revelation by Israel, the innate character of Mordechai's nation, to the point that neither kneel nor prostrate saturates the soul's entire external garments of thought, speech, and action, even to the point of actual, quote, to offer his soul to God and martyrdom for the sanctification of his name. Now, when Mordechai heard that from the children, the verse speaking of faith and trust in God, Mordechai already then knew that Israel would successfully withstand a test of self-sacrifice. And therefore he laughed and was overjoyed, being that take counsel and it will be negated, speak something and it will not stand, as God is with us. Now, after Mordechai laughed and was overjoyed, Mordechai then rent his clothes and put on a sackcloth and ashes, and he went out into the midst of the city and cried a loud and bitter cry, great mourning for the Jews, and fasting and weeping and lamenting, sackcloth and ashes were put on the most prominent. Why did he do this? All in order to arouse and reveal the Jewish spark and its characteristics of to offer his soul to God and martyrdom for the sanctification of his name. Now, let us now examine the three verses and their evolving message of faith and trust in God. So, Mordechai was assured that the Jews would succeed. However, he had to bring it out of them. So, he went and he did what he did with the crying to arouse by Jews that they should dig deep within themselves. Now, these three verses are going to be an evolution of one stage to a higher stage, to a higher stage in faith and trust in God. Now, verse 1, fear not from sudden terror and from the cataclysm of the wicked when it comes. Now, this speaks of an open fear and pending tragedy. Thus, this verse was recited with no explanation necessary. On a faith and trust level, even though it is most natural for one to panic from sudden terror and wicked, the Jew has no need to panic, nor even an excuse as to why he did panic, for a Jew innately knows that, I quote you from the Talmud, all that God does, he does for the good. Now, on a level of education, what does this mean? We are speaking of a child who can do no more than just recite your verse for me. And nevertheless, even at this tender age, the child is already simply clear that he must, quote, fear not from sudden terror and from the catalysm of the wicked when it comes. Let's go to verse 2. Take counsel and it will be negated. Speak something and it will not stand, as God is with us. This speaks of not an open, pending tragedy, but of counsel and speaking that might lead to troubles. And here we are told the reason of not worrying, as God is with us. On a faith and trust level, higher is not only does he not panic, but more than this, he absolutely knows that it will even be negated and it will not stand because God is with us. On a level of education, as the child grows older, and I read today with this verse I stopped, meaning he can already read and study on his own and be taught a bit deeper concepts of faith and trust, him we tell, take counsel and it will be negated, speak something and it will not stand, and we also give an understanding as to why, because as God is with me. Then we have the third verse. Until old age I am he, and until gray hairs I will bear you. I have done and I will carry, I will bear and I will rescue. Now this speaks not even of a potential pending doom, but of the natural evolution of a human being. And concerning this fear, not only does God say, I am he, I will bear you, but also I have done and I will carry. On a level of faith and trust, this is even higher. That even concerning the natural cycle of one's life, in which old age, gray hairs, the Jew is not concerned about it, being that Mother Nature's laws ingrained within nature by God has no sovereignty over Israel. However, for this faith that nature has no sovereignty over Israel, as God is with us, is not sufficient. And hence the verse elaborates, I will carry and I will bear and I will rescue. On a point from education, and for the even more developed growing children, we teach them that even from a natural phenomenon, he need not get alarmed nor agitated. And for this developed child, we give a more in-depth and elaborate reasoning, I am he, I will bear you, I have done, and I will carry, I will bear, and I will rescue. Now, when Mordechai saw three children who were coming from school, meaning that not only are they being taught and incorporating what they're being taught within the walls of the school, but are taking it all with them when they were coming from school to home. That's when Mordechai laughed and was overjoyed from the verses of the children. For now Mordechai is assured that the Jewish spark is complete and aroused. For even those by whom it is temporarily concealed, the children are bringing the message home from school and will spiritually awaken their parents. Now, a side teaching. With this, we can understand another concept about Purim. The sages teach on the verse in the book of Esther, they ordained and they took upon themselves. So they say they ordained what they had already taken upon themselves at Sinai. Now, why? Being that, and I quote you from the Talmud, the Holy One, blessed be He, overturned upon them, meaning the Jewish people at Mount Sinai, and they picked up the mountain and turned it upon them as a tub, and said to them, if you accept the Torah, excellent, and if not, there will be your burial. And therefore, there is the Talmud rules, there is substantial caveat to the obligation to fulfill the Torah, being that the Jewish people can claim that they were coerced into accepting the Torah, and it is therefore not binding. And it is only because they again accepted it willingly at the time of Achashverosh, the time of Purim, where it says they ordained and took upon themselves that there is no more any claims contesting our receiving the Torah from God. Chassidus goes deeper and explains on the verse, right next to this verse, and the Jews took upon themselves what they had commenced to do. So Chassidus explains that in essence, at Sinai, Israel only commenced to accept the Torah, for the acceptance of the Torah at Sinai was of the self-sacrifice thrust upon them from above of, number one, pronounce we will do blindly and obediently before and we will hear and understand, and number two, of the overturned mountain upon them as a tub. So that was forced upon them. However, at the era of Purim, there was the, and the Jews took upon themselves of a self-sacrifice that the Jews from within themselves willingly brought forth. And hence, this was the completion of that which they commenced at Sinai. And just as the commencement at Sinai was possible only once, I quote to you from the teachings of our sages, that we had to tell God, our children will be our security, meaning that the Torah will never cease among Israel. So too, at the completion of the commencement by Purim, there had to be the security through Mordechai saw three children who were coming from school, recite your verse to me. And besides that, Mordechai then later gathered 22,000 children gathered to study Torah with their self-sacrifice. And just like Purim's completion of what was commenced by Sinai was through Purim's self-sacrifice that the Jews from within themselves willingly brought forth, so too concerning Purim's our children are our security is not coming from their parents upon them, but rather they are bringing home from school to their parents. And now let's go to the lesson from all of this. The lesson: to know where the future of Israel stands, we must turn to see the children who were coming from school. Jewish education must be in the fashion that even before they are capable to read any verses on their own, they must be imbued with fear not from anything but God. As Rabbi Eliezer taught his 5-year-old son, who would then become the Baal Shem Tov, that there's nothing to fear but God. Then when the child matures a bit, then he must be taught, take counsel, and it will be negated as God is with us. Followed by when the child matures further, that he is taught all that is explained in the third verse with all the explanations offered there. Now why? For in order for the Torah being taught to the children to become, recite for me your verse, in order what they're learning should become theirs, it must be taught to the child with the explanations of the oral Torah and with the insight of Hasidic teachings. This will bring about that even while we are still in exile, we fear not. For, I quote you the verse from Psalms, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings you have established strength because of your adversaries in order to put an end to enemy and avenger. Additionally, we will have the verse of Malachi, Lo, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, that he may turn the heart of the fathers back through the children, that bring forth the final redemption with our righteous Mashiach. Amen.